Turn with me to the fourth chapter of John. Fourth chapter of John. And I want to just let your heart be blessed as my heart has been re-blessed in reading and meditating upon the fourth chapter of John. And really, the title of what I'd like to say, and I'm going to read several verses. I don't like to read a lot of verses, but these verses are so wonderful, as all Word of God is wonderful. But why witnessing is so important? Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, that we all understand that we're a team. We're all a team together. Amen. And it is important, and I rejoice in what God has been doing because I realize it is God. Praise the Lord. This is not mechanical. It's not something that you can make happen. It's something that God's Holy Spirit has orchestrated. In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, the Word of God said in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Speaking of Jesus, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, being wearied with his journey, and thus on, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. You know the story of the woman of Samaria who came to draw water, and he said, give me to drink, and you know the dialogue that happened there between the Samaritans and the Jews and so on. And, you know, Jesus just read her mail. He just read her mail. And I'm not going to read all those verses, but let's go to the 15th verse. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now let's go down after Jesus dealt with this woman and the faith that has been stirred in her heart. The woman left her water pot in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why did you talk with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You know the things of God. Nothing satisfies like the things of God. To be in God's presence, to sing his songs, to teach or preach his word, to go out and be a witness. You know, it's just amazing how satisfying it is to know you're in the will of God. I remember years ago when we were traveling with Dr. Gordon Lindsay from Christ for the Nations, at that time they called it, and I was the coordinator of everything. I still don't know how I did it. But I'd lose about 12 pounds a week when we were in one of those conference times, because you'd walk from one end of the auditorium or of the center to another. Joy played the organ. I led praise and worship and directed the ushers, and we received the offering. Then I directed the prayer line. It was a busy, busy time, and God used that time to stir up a lot of things in my heart. But, you know, there were times when you didn't eat all day. You know, you forgot to eat because you were so busy working for God. Well, be that. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him to eat? Someone's brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. And herein is that saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever that I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And one more verse, and he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You say, well, why is witnessing so important? I'll just be real simple. I just have several simple points that God just spoke to my heart in a time of prayer. First of all, witnessing, and I'm talking about witnessing and win and bring them in too. Jesus did it. Jesus was a witness. Jesus was a witness. He didn't come and just ride around in a royal chariot. He didn't just come and, as a big shot, or who he was the biggest shot that ever came to this earth, praise God. But he was a witness. Jesus did it. And, you know, when Jesus came to John the Baptist and submitted himself for water baptism, why is water baptism important? I've been asked that question. Well, number one, of course, Jesus did it. And what Jesus does is important, right? Amen. He never wasted time. He never wasted motion. So Jesus did it. And, you know, it's interesting to notice that Jesus used props. The well was his prop at this point. You say, well, he was tired. Yeah, I know he was tired. But Jesus knew where to stop, when to be there, and he was there when the woman arrived. I mean, there was a prop. The well was the prop. And there are many ways we can get people's attention. Sometimes it just happens by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus did use props. And in the stories that he told, the parables that he told. Also, every soul won to Jesus is one less in hell. Every soul won to Jesus is one less person in hell. You say you believe in hell? Jesus believed in hell and told us more about hell, I guess, than anyone else in the Bible. But every soul that we win, some people say, and you know, here's, you've got to find the balance in what I'm saying here. And some people say, well, that's just too quick. And then I talk to people, they've been witnessing for a long time, but they never tried to close the deal. Now, I know that you don't win everybody. You can't win everybody. But how long are you going to witness before you reel the hook in? You know? And a situation was brought to my attention in another situation where someone had been witnessing for months to this person, but they never tried to close the deal. Now, no salesman's going to keep his job and get a commission or get a salary who never can close a deal. You can talk about paint, or you can talk about lumber, or you can talk about plumbing, or whatever you want to sell. But somewhere you got to sell some merchandise. You got to close and seal the deal. So every soul won is one less person in hell. Going further, every soul won is an open door to others. Everything up in Colorado, as many years as I've seen the aspens, I just read something this last year that talked about the aspen trees and how beautiful it is. God has blessed us for years to be in Colorado ministering when the aspens were turning. And we have some trees here in Fort Worth that dawned on me that have the same coloring. It's beautiful. You know, this is a beautiful time of the year. And you see the gold leaves and the yellow leaves. But the thing about the aspen, don't ask me how, but they say aspens are all tied to one another. Under the surface, it's a together thing, the roots. Don't ask me to explain it. I couldn't explain that. But you see, every soul one opens doors to others. And just like those aspen trees, it's not only one aspen tree, but it affects so many other trees. How far can it go? I don't know, but that's what the article said that seemed to know what they were talking about. But every soul, one, it opens the door to others. Amen. You never know that one person that you lead to Jesus. And I know when we started the church back in 64, 65, 66, right in there, we didn't have people. Well, we had, you know, a handful. I think we had about 15, 16 people. But what we would do, we would see key people who I call it the domino, they would go win their friends because everybody knows somebody. And so you just stack them up and then that thing will domino and you reach others because everybody knows somebody and everyone has an influence in somebody's life. Amen. So every soul won opens the door to others. You never know how far the witness that you were involved in, how far that's going to go. You don't know all the people they know. You don't know where it's going to end up. It could end up in a Oral Roberts or a Billy Graham or a Reinhard Bonnke or, a famous worldwide evangelist. Also, for a believer, there are two callings, two strong callings. There are many callings, but we're called as a believer to love God with all of our heart. And Brother Womack taught over in Irving the other night, Friday night it was, on how important it is to have a loving relationship with the Lord. And that is so important. Not a harsh relationship, not a fear relationship, not a warped relationship. But, isn't it just wonderful to know that He loves me? He loves me, period. He's loved me from the foundation of the world and loved you from the foundation of the world. And so that's number one. As a believer, we love God first and best and most, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and so on. But secondly, to share Jesus with others. There are so many ways. You can't close it every time, and you don't have time to make a complete deal every time. But how many times in a day does someone open the door for you to talk about Jesus? It happens all the time. And when anybody tells me, it's a wonderful day, most people, they're commercially smiling. They're doing their best because they teach them to do that. But it's amazing how many people will say this or that, and you say, I'll pray for you. Could I pray for you? And, very few people will say, no, you can't pray for me. Get out of this store, gas station, or whatever. Almost anyone will let you pray for them. So soul witness, to witness, win, and bring them in, it's interesting to share Jesus with others. Now here's another insight in verse 34. So when we sow witnessing and winning and go out, it's God's will for us. Verse 34, let's look at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, if Jesus had a job, then we have a job. And he considered the reason that he came into this world, my meat, my purpose, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so it's so important that it's God's will. It is God's will for us to witness and to win and to bring them in. Can you say amen? Another interesting point about this, that soul winning pays good wages. And I want you to look at verse 36 has all kinds of truth there. Verse 36, let's get back here. He that reapeth receiveth wages. 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 And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Soul winning pays good wages. Hallelujah. It's so important to win others to Jesus because it's part of the economy of God. God pays soul winners and blesses them. You say, with what? I would just say with whatever you need. Soul winning pays good wages. in your conscience, in your sleep at night. You know, I never witness, even if I can't get the deal closed, I never witness but that I feel like I've been born again. I mean, they're just something that is released when you talk to others about the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. Also, soul winners are happy believers. Something I've observed, and they're not the only happy ones in the church, but you know, I've dealt with my share of sad folks. Boy, they were in church, but they looked like rigor mortis, you know. As Brother Rodney said, Brother rigor mortis and Sister rigor mortis and all the little mortises, you know. I mean, I don't know why some people even come to church, because they're always hacked about something. But you know, soul winners, if you're really an active soul winner, especially there's an acceleration of divine purpose in your life. There is an acceleration. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's not a church rewarding you. I can't reward you for that. No way. But you see, soul winners are happy believers. And one way to forget your own problems is to go witness to others. Tell them about Jesus. It's one of the best ways to deal with your problems. If you're having a bad day or a hard day, just go find someone and talk to them about Jesus. Praise God. Another interesting insight to this, we are all workers together. Every person who is an attender and a believer and a tither and giving unto God, we're a team together. And I mean this with all of my heart. I probably say it too calmly, but when we give, let's just say a Sunday morning, tonight, anytime, when we give unto the Lord, we're part of the team. Amen. There are people that, because of their job restraints and because of certain things, and they're not around many people in their type of job, that they don't have the opportunity that some people do to witness. And who was it, Moody or one of those precious characters of days gone by? He had a streetcar outside of his home or apartment or whatever he had. And if he had not been able to witness that day, he would go out and stand on the street corner until the streetcar would come up, because when people get off, he'd have the opportunity to witness, get him some fresh witness going there. He didn't consider a day complete unless he had won at least one soul to Jesus. Wow. Hey. Oh, my. Soul winners are happy workers, and we're all workers together. We are all workers together. Amen. You know, we must never let pride enter into anything that we do. Verse 37 said, herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You don't know. God may have been prepping somebody for a long time, and he gave you the chance to close the deal. It might be a grandmother that prayed, or, you know, I've heard and seen so many things along this line that, you know, really, we're just set up to have the privilege of reaching people for Jesus. And there are situations you wonder, how in the world did this come about? And one day you find out that somebody was praying for that individual. And, you know, we'll have to wait for eternity, because we certainly don't know everything. But Jesus said, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. I mean, you being there was just an obedience to God. You didn't bestow labor on that person. You didn't pray for them for years. You weren't a grandmother or a mother or a father or a cousin or someone. Someone else has already given you a setup, and there they are in front of you, or doing business with you, or crossing your path. And God gave us the privilege. It's not because we're so great, dear God, no. It's a setup. And I'll tell you, the more we get involved in witnessing, the more God's going to give us setups just like that. You know, I never forget New York, coming back from Israel. And I was in that line. This has been, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago now. And it was one of those extra long lines, and people were really testy. Boy, they were testy. And there's just all kind of griping and complaining going on. And just as it came my turn, the person that was processing me, God said, before I even got there, God said, witness to this person. And that's, I think, one of the fastest witnesses I ever made in my life. Because I just said, ask her if she knew Jesus. She said, no. I said, would you like to? She said, I sure would. And while the mad people were fussing behind us, not knowing what we're doing, I just gently took her hand and said, well, just pray after me. And she prayed after me. Tears came into her eyes. And I said, you've accepted Jesus. She said, yes, I know. I've been thinking about that for some time. And I just encouraged her to find a church in New York somewhere and went on through the line. I was ready to have the crowd clobber me, you know, but it didn't take that long. And I'd like to have a little more time than that in a situation, but I'll never forget that, how that precious lady, she said, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Praise God. We're all workers together, and we must never let pride enter into what we do. It's not that we're such a big deal. All we're doing is obeying God. It's not that we're a big deal. We're part of the spokes in the wheel of God's wonderful plan. You know, witnessing winning and bringing them in is the key to worldwide evangelism. It's none of my business. I'll let God handle that. But I mean, so much kingdom, so-called kingdom work today is just swapping out. Just transfer growth. And it's amazing to me. It's just really amazing to me. But, you know, witnessing and winning, somewhere someone said, well, I'm just going deep. How deep can you go until you win somebody to Jesus? I knew some folks a few years ago. I mean, they were deep, but they never won anybody to Jesus and criticized those that did. That's been several years ago. But this is the way. We've got to break the mold and get out of the rut and reach some fresh souls to be discipled. You got to have something to disciple. I'm talking about, you know, in fresh new believers. And this is the key to world evangelism, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ by winning people personally to the Lord. There's a lot of processes that go into that. You've heard this bits and pieces, but when we were downtown and we almost lost that property two or three times, we were making the payments, but we could not get the thing financed because it had to be bought out of the bonds that we were into at that time. And we just couldn't find something. We were making payments. We proved we could do that, but we just didn't have the opportunity. During that time, I'll never forget, a pastor in Dallas called me, and he was young as a pastor. And he said, Pastor Bob Nichols, I've listened to you on the radio, and I know you, and I know about you. And he had a fast-growing church at that time. He said, would you consider coming over and teaching in our school? Had a Bible school. And I thought, he wanted me to come over three times a week, morning and evening. Don't ask me how I did it. I don't know how I did it. It was one of those times I almost gave up sleep, you know. But we went to Dallas and sowed seed in another person's school. And I said, okay, God, if I'm going to do that, we're going to have a Bible school of our own. I'm going to sow seed unto our own school. And we did that. And he told me, he said, the majority of our staff is in Bible school. He said, you're helping me to pastor this church. He said, you have a lot more years in this than I do. He said, I'm relatively green as a pastor. But he was a tremendous guy, and God used him. And it was an era that was very interesting. But, you know, not knowing that from Fort Worth to Dallas, that they would be sending those classes out, and it would go up into the mountains and go to someone that had never met me, and they liked what I was teaching, and they called me and wanted me to come up and spend time in Winter Park, Colorado. And they called me and said, would you please come? And I said, that's my family time. That's my vacation time. They said, well, let's look at it this way. We'll fly you to Colorado, let you have a 4x4 for the time you're here. We'll give you a nice condominium to stay in. If you'll give us 5 days, we'll give you another 10 days or 2 weeks. And it was amazing, not knowing that out of that, then this couple would go to Grenada, and we would become a part of the ministry there, and that we would go on television there eventually in Grenada, not knowing that an engineer from Uganda would come to Grenada on business and see television there that was sponsored by Calvary Cathedral International and accept Jesus as personal Savior and say, you must come to Uganda. You know, I've had some folks that were critical of me talking about what we're doing, but get a life. This is what we are doing. It's not what I'm doing. It's what we are doing. This is, and you heard Andrew Womack this morning. This thing's a lot bigger than I've ever even tried to paint it. The results and the fruits of the consistency of this church, the roots go deep. They go overseas. They go around. And God raised up that station. TBN tried to get a license. In Grenada, they couldn't get it. Flew in with a jet and did all, you know, met, wouldn't do it. But our missionary got the license in Grenada. Going to Uganda, our missionary, whereas no one else could get a license for Christian television, our missionary got the license to do television in Kampala, Uganda. But it all started with a preacher in Fort Worth going to Dallas to do things that went out. You see? Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And then we've been on the air now this July, 18 years, I believe. Is that correct? 18 years. 50,000 watt station. That's the equivalent of channel 4, 5, 8, or 11, for at least an example. And a local church. There are people that are very wise in this area. They say, we've never seen a deal like this before. Thank God for the vision of your church. Amen. 17 years. All right. I know now it's 17. We went on the air in 1997. Yeah, 97 July. Witnessing and winning is the key to worldwide evangelism. And now, from there, thank God, I've contacted so many. And I tried to get black support among several ministers. They said, we don't have a burden for Africa. We're just ministering to blacks in the United States. I said, hey, I'm a white guy in a black nation. Give me a break. Just help us a little bit. No, we don't feel led. I wanted to get them a pickup or 18-wheeler full of lead, leave it on their doorstep so they could feel some lead. I'm not talking about big bucks. I'm just talking about help us, you know. Praise God. And so those that have been there, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, any strong name that you see on Daystar TBN, a strong name, they're on our station there. They're on our station there. But Andrew Womack has caught the vision. Man, he's caught the vision. And what a blessing they have been. What a blessing they have been. But you see, you never know how it just goes from here to here to here. Your feeble effort, you think you're doing a feeble effort, it can go worldwide. God sees our obedience. God sees our obedience and multiplies it. Well, soul winning, I want to hit that last, praise God. But looking at verse 35, there is an open door of opportunity now. It said, you know, here it said, look not on the fields. The fields are white unto harvest. Why has God let this bomb fall and explode in our congregation? Well, obviously no one else. There are many others that in a metroplex full of churches. Most of the lights are out. No criticism there. Why has God given us the privilege of going into the highways and hedges and given us people to do that? Why are we part of this? Because there's an open door of opportunity right now. God has opened the door of opportunity. This is not a fluke. It's not a thing of luck. It's not a throw a dart at the board and hope you hit the bullseye. I mean, we're on the bullseye. And God is anointing people to go into the highways and the hedges and reach people for the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an open door now. And it's so important when the door is open, go through the door. There was a door that was open to the Jesus hippie generation. And we walked through that door. And church, here we are not far from 50 years. Here we are today, the product of outreach. Outreach is the lifeblood of a church. And we've reached out in so many ways. For over 40 years, we've reached out on the radio. It's amazing the people that surprise me all the time that radio has penetrated their world. We've penetrated through television. We've penetrated through missions. We've gone overseas. We've gone out to the highways and hedges because the door is open. The door is open. You go back to the Ark of Noah. There was a time when the door was open, but it would not be open eternally. They went into the ark while the door was open and the door was shut. How do you think people felt that had laughed at Noah for so long? That Noah and his family were in the ark, but they were on the outside and it started to rain and they saw the waters rising. Folks, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Oh, I would to God that everybody in this church could catch the vision of harvest. Oh, God, awaken us to the harvest time. The door is open. The door is open. This is not fun and games. This is not a fluke. It's not a thing of chance or whatever. God has opened the door. And it's just like gears have been shifted. You say, well, the church has changed. No, the church hasn't changed. We just got the pedal to the metal in this particular area. We haven't lost our vision of anything else. I mean, there's some things we're in the process of adjusting and growing and whatever. But no, we haven't turned away. Calvary is basic Calvary Cathedral International for years. We've just done it in different ways. We did it through the Jesus hippie generation. We've done it through busing back years ago. We've done it through missions. We've done it through highways and hedges. There's an open door of opportunity. And I just pray, oh God, whatever part we play in the team, whatever part we play in the team, oh God, give us a heart for souls. Don't let that gentle dove pass this church by because we're insensitive. No condemnation in what I'm saying. All you have to do is just say, yes, Lord. There's no condemnation. I mean, I look at myself. I told Brother Rodney when we were talking. Of course, we've done this before, but we have not seen it on a scale that we're doing it now. We even had more buses before, way back when. We were running 13 buses back several years ago. And we lost some key workers and some things happened. But, oh, I want to be sensitive. If God put the baby on our doorstep, God just has a track record of putting babies on our doorstep. And nothing gets your sympathy any more than someone that left a baby on your doorstep. Everybody's heart's tender toward a baby. I remember down on the island of Grenada, there's a little girl, her name is Nikki. And Nikki's mother didn't want her, and it was the product of living a life of immorality that she had the child. And she put the child in a brown paper sack, grocery sack, and put it under a house. And there was a woman that heard the baby crying and found the baby. And today that baby is born again, spirit-filled, married, has her own children as far as I remember the story. We know her. We converse with her from time. And Nikki, instead of being a casualty, Nikki's been a blessing. Praise God. God spared that girl's life. Amen. Praise be unto the Lord. It's so important that we respond to the baby on the doorstep. Another insight that we have, we are where, in essence, was just saying, we are where we are tonight. We have a church. We have a building. We have 17 and a half acres. Because we've sown seed in our time of need. It's just like the Bible school students told me when we had the tornado downtown. They came running to my office and they started preaching to me what I'd been preaching. Pastor, we have enough seed in Uganda alone to come back. I mean, water's running down the hall, and, you know, that building is just a wreck. But we have enough seed in Grenada, in Uganda Lighthouse, they said, in Uganda alone to come back. Praise God. And you say, well, where are the crowds? I don't know, but I know one thing, the crowds need Jesus. And every church needs to be involved with some phase of what we're doing here. Every church should be involved in that. And many churches have come in for the last few days. How many pastors and staff have come in? Over 40 have come in, and they're thrilled about what they see. They're going to go home and do it there. So they can go home and do it where they are. That is so wonderful. There's an open door of opportunity. And we are where we are now because we've reached out and touched others. Praise be unto God. But there's one other point that I'd like to bring out. Soul winning exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of John's Gospel, verse 41. Well, let's look at 39, 40, and 41. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. One more verse here. And many more believed because of his own word. See, God knows how to get the word out. And you know, I'd like to encourage all of you, you know, there's so much trash on the media, you know, private media, Facebook and whatever. You know what that ought to be used for? You ought to just preach. Tell people about the altar call today. Put it out there. Get the word out. No one cares whether you're going to the bathroom now. Hey, more than one communication. People told me, someone put it there, I'm going to the bathroom now. Who gives a rip about you going to the bathroom? That's base. But tell people, ever living, never dying souls came to Jesus this morning. 83 walked the aisles on a Sunday morning. That'll wake somebody up. They may not believe it, but that'll wake them up. Praise God. You know, hallelujah. I'm just glad to be on the wagon of a church like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. But it exalts Jesus. Many more believed because of his own word. Many more believed and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. We've heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, does that touch? That expression touched my heart as I read it. This is the Christ. I stopped before that, but God said, read a little further. This is the Christ, indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is an altar call of 1 or 40 or 50 or 83 or 62 or what? It's about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And more people knowing him, because every new person that knows him is one less soul going to hell. And the numbers that come in, rest assured, that has happened, because we don't have a bunch of pathological liars around here. But here's the thing. Please get this grip. God deals with me in simple insights like this, that in that last day, whatever the number is, cut it in half if you want to. It's none of your business, none of my business, because only God knows the heart. But in the last day, they cannot stand before God and say, no one ever told me about Jesus. But if we don't go, there will be that number of people that will stand before God and say, no one ever told us about this. No one ever told us. Thank God we're part of a church that that's show and tell, praise God, going into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in. Well, John, the fourth chapter tells you so vividly what we're doing during these days about Jesus at the well and Jesus, the great witness. Praise be unto God. And I just thank you for listening to the word of God tonight. Folks, this time shout the victory. We're part of a soul winning team. We're part of a house that loves people for the right reasons. Hallelujah. David, we're part of a soul winning team. Amen. Praise be unto God. And you know what I'd like to do just in the closing moments of this service, you know, I feel such a need. We need to pray for all efforts going out. We need to pray for the power tower. We need to believe for the outreach. We need to believe for radio. I really don't say anything about our radio broadcast. We've been doing this over 40 years. Over 40 years we've been on the radio. I wonder how many would just stand and come and stand with me for a few moments. Not many. 5 or 6 minutes. And we're going to pray over the outreaches of this church. That God. We have nurses and hospitals that are winning people to Jesus. We have teachers that are winning people to Jesus. We're going now, our witnesses are going into public schools. And they go by proper authority. They go to the principal and ask permission. And most of them are so freaked out now that things are in such a mess, they're ready to try anything. When's the last time you heard about a public school embracing someone coming in and giving the plan of salvation? I haven't heard that in a long time. The only stories I've heard of doors closed, you know, get out of here with religion and that type of thing. I want us just to pray over the outreaches that we have here in the church. Father, we lift our voices right now. We pray over the outreaches, the children's church, the youth, the boys and girls, the children. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. God bless Robert and Pam and all of those that work with the children and work with the younger children. Bless our junior high effort, Father. Bless our senior high effort, Father. Oh God, you see every outreach. Bless our Christian school. Oh, there's so many good things are happening in our Christian school. Oh, Father, we speak health and healing to Sue Tidwell. Supernatural health and healing into her body. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in the outreaches that are going out. Oh, in the outreaches that are going out. You sent them out in Luke 14 to the lame, the blind, the halt, people that had problems, people that were poor, people that were broke. You said, if others won't hear it, go where they will hear it. Oh God, you see and you hear this. Father, the radio broadcast, anoint the efforts of the radio broadcast, I pray. Oh Father, thank you for bringing us through many dangers, toils, and snares. All the times we've been put off of stations because they decided to sell the station or move us and we lost a strategic time slot. Oh God, oh God, the ladies' ministry, we just believe more and more we're going to see more people and their lives being changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't say there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest. The fields are white and now under harvest. Oh God, overseas and in all of our missions. I want you to let's pray for Uganda right now. Father, we pray for Lighthouse and Uganda right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for our missionaries that are over the station, the Everetts. In the name of Jesus, we bless Gary and Minshew. We bless Victoria and Elizabeth and Michael. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Protect their lives. Protect their homes. Protect the tower. Protect our transmitters. Oh God, protect our studios there. In the name of Jesus, protect, O God, we pray. Shila boreba koraba katai. Vri katore mabareba kosai. Lord, anoint this church to witness, win, and bring them in a stronger way. In a stronger way, Father. There are more here than there were on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. What power was released when the fire of God was ignited in their hearts? Oh, Father, you hear the prayers of God's people. Help us to know when to stop at the well in Samaria. Help us to know how to deal with the woman at the well, or the man at the well, or the children at the well. Oh, God. Lord, fill this church with people that are happy to be here. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled, happy, fortunate, blessed to be here. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, let this auditorium rock and vibrate with people that are happy, happy to be here, happy to be a part of the ministry, happy to do the will of God. Our Christian school, we pray for every family that is involved with Christian education. In the name of Jesus, every family, every child that attends our school, just let a spirit of revival go out to every heart, every home, every life. Father, we call in people that are unsaved that need to be born again. We call in those that are born again who need a good church home. We call them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, bless the Conquerors Club. Bless the Conquerors Club. Bless the marriages of this church. Bless the young married couples. Bless. Oh, Father, may we get a burden to see our church bloom and grow for the glory of God. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray for Andrew Womack, who's been with us the last few hours. Bless Andrew and Jamie. Bless their organization. Father, I just pray that you bless their property. Bless that construction that's going on. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you for Holy Ghost explosion here at Calvary. Holy Ghost explosion. Holy Ghost explosion. In the name of Jesus. A church where marriages are healed. A church where young people find reality. A church where all people begin again in Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for these precious people that came standing with us tonight. We're a team together. We're a team together. We're not praying to hurt anybody tonight. We're not up here to hurt anybody. We're not praying to hurt anybody. We just want to see a mighty move of God in every heart and in every life. In Jesus' name. We call in supernatural finances. We call in supernatural finances. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to just explode a desire in the hearts of many of the alumni of our Christian school to help. Because there's a lot of success stories out there. Lord, they'll realize someone sacrificed for them to have what they have. And they'll be a part of that. Lord, put us on the heart of entrepreneurs and businessmen. Put us on the heart of those that can do something substantial. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, we just say hasten that new roof now. Thank you that contributions are still coming in. Never have stopped. We thank you that new roof cometh. And we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. All over this campus in a supernatural way. Praise God. Well, thank you.